Well, Christmas is the incarnation celebration. It really is. Incarnation, one of those words that we sort of kind of blow past. We kind of think we know what it means, but maybe not. But we know it's a good word, one of those doctrinal words, but so much more. Last week, I kind of dove into the deep end of the pool, and I've been swimming ever since in my own Noel, Christmas season. And I didn't know it was possible for me to love Christmas more, but I can tell you it's happening. Incarnation, what does it literally mean? It means in flesh. In flesh. And this is a huge idea. If you have your gospel copy of the scriptures, turn to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. We had this reading last Sunday, but I want to take us back there for just a moment. The 14 verses that begin the book of John are so powerful. All of God's Word is powerful and mighty. But if we really come to understand and to embrace these words that John begins his gospel writing with, our lives will be different, delightfully different, forever and today. I believe this with all my heart. We come to John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." The Word is a title given to Christ, that second person of the Godhead, God the Son. In some translations, some versions of the Bible, it actually says, "In the beginning, Jesus already existed." So when you see the Word, it means Him. It's not a what, it's a whom. It's a who. It is Jesus. "In the beginning, Jesus already existed." The Word. The Word, Jesus, was with God the Father. And the Word was God. And God the Son is God. I'm not just being repetitious. I'm trying to take it deeper into our hearts and minds. He was already with God in the beginning. Jesus has no beginning. He was born in Bethlehem. That was not His beginning. That was our new beginning. He was born for us, not for Himself. That birth was for us. Because John says He was already with God in the beginning. Everything came into existence through Him. Not one thing that exists was made without Jesus. This is just a powerful thought. I don't know how often we soak in that idea. He was the source of life, and that life was the light for humanity. The light shines in the dark, and the dark has never extinguished it. Then John, the beloved, goes on to talk a little bit about John the Baptist coming, and the idea that John the Baptist was not the light, but he pointed to the light who was Jesus. And then we come down and we close that passage out with verse 14. It says, "The Word," that is Jesus, "became human." He was not human before Bethlehem. He was God. I mean, He didn't cease to be God. But, yeah, you see what our brains do? They sort of shut down. "The Word, Jesus, became human and lived among us. We saw His glory." It was the glory that the Father shares with His only Son. A glory full of kindness, grace. Kindness, grace. Kindness. His glory is full of kindness and truth. Truth. I like the word kindness in this translation of God's Word. I know we love the word grace. Some people get upset when anybody replaces grace with another word, but sometimes grace is too massive for us to get our arms around. And we sing the song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," or the little boy who sang it this way, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a witch like my sister." I heard that once. And we can't get our arms around, you know, this idea of grace. But when you say kindness, we start to, oh, okay, I kind of understand grace when you say kindness. It's the kindness of God extending to us what we can never deserve, what we can never earn, what we can never purchase. This is the idea of the incarnation. This is the idea of Christmas. And then truth, not just kindness, but also truth. When Jesus stood before Pilate, the governor, and He would be soon executed by crucifixion. Jesus said to Pilate, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to Me." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" You know, you can tell he's really exasperated by his question. Well, wrong question, Pilate. That's the wrong question. It's not what is truth, it's who is truth. You see, people today are on this aimless search to find fulfillment in life, and they're asking the wrong question. They're asking what is truth is a question is wrong. The question should be, who is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so we shouldn't be looking for a way, we should be looking to the way. It's Jesus. We shouldn't be looking for a truth, we should be looking to the truth. That's Jesus. We shouldn't even be looking for a life. We should be looking to the life. It's Jesus. This is incarnation explained as simple as I know to bring it down. John 1:14, just make a mark of it in your Bible. It just means that God came to us in the flesh. It's the doctrine, it is the teaching of the church, but it also really happened. Jesus incarnate. He came to us as one of us. This is the miracle of Christmas. Jesus, God Himself in the flesh. It's called the incarnation. I want to add a little side piece here, lest I forget it. You know, sometimes we have trouble trusting God, and that has to really just be mind-boggling to God if His mind ever gets boggled. That we would have trouble trusting God. Here God is. God is born as a baby, and before He would ever call us to trust Him, He trusted us. Think about it. God, born as a newborn baby, He trusted humanity, humans, Mary, Joseph. He trusted us before He ever called us to trust Him. And I think it's His way of saying, I trusted you with my life. Can you not now trust me with yours? This is a Christmas question. And I think it bears consideration. Now, the beautiful thing about the incarnation is God didn't send an angel as an ambassador to help us. He came Himself. Because the angel couldn't bring what we needed. He came to heal us from the dreadful disease of sin. And it could only happen. We could only find healing if God would make Himself one with our problem. He became one with our disease. At the conclusion of the service today, we're going to have communion invitation, where you will come and take a cup and a little wafer. It symbolizes what Jesus gave to us in the Last Supper, the elements. This is my body, take it and eat it. This is my blood, take it and drink it. This is about the incarnation, friends. Many people walked away from the ministry of Jesus in John 6. You'll find that. In John 6, long about verse 66, verse 67, when Jesus started talking about, take of my body, take of my flesh, they said, we've heard enough already. We've just heard enough. We can't take this anymore. And they walked away. And Jesus even looked at His disciples and said, do you also want to leave? And that's where Peter said, well, where are we going to go? You alone have the words of life. He was offering life through His body and His blood. So at the conclusion of the service today, what we are coming and recognizing is that God entered our disease and He purified it. Oh, wow. And so He didn't say, I'm going to send a Band-Aid, I'm just going to stop the bleeding. No, no, no. This table represents Jesus becoming flesh and blood. It represents a transfusion that we take by faith. We take these elements symbolic of what He did by being born in Bethlehem and by going to the cross. We take His body, we take His blood symbolically through the cracker and the juice, and we place it in our bodies by faith, and we say it's the only way we could be cured of our disease. That's just deep water. Man. Why shouldn't we celebrate Christmas? Look, I'd expect all of you that are able, forget willing, to be at 5 o'clock at the courthouse tonight with your candle in your hand. Because I want somebody to look at you and say, what's up with you? Why are you so excited about Christmas? Then you can re-preach part of my message this morning. Give an altar call right there. Take an offering, optional. That's up to you. But we got a lot to celebrate, friends, and we were a dying race. We had an incurable disease. Except Jesus said, I'll become one of them. I'll be born in their likeness so they can become like us. I'll enter their horror so they can have our holiness. Whoa, this is Christmas, friends. This is the gift of Christmas. If you don't buy the idea, I mean, you should and you will eventually, but if you don't buy the idea of the disease cure, let me give you another one. You know what? Christmas really is a rescue. It's a rescue mission. I mean, we ask the question, why did God come as a baby? Well, we don't totally understand it all, but it was a pretty stealth idea, don't you think? I mean, I don't think people were expecting, I don't think the devil was expecting that this baby was going to cause a whole lot of trouble. I mean, what can a baby do? A baby changes everything. I think somebody wrote a song about that. And so he dropped down behind enemy lines and he was born in Bethlehem as a baby. God is a baby. Well, sure he came as a baby. Because he had to get into our lost environment so that he could become our Savior. And so he dropped down and 33 years later, he would come up on the cross. That same baby, do you understand this? That same baby that was born in Bethlehem. When I take groups there and we walk into the Church of the Nativity, I remember the first time I walked down the steps into that grotto and they said, right there, right yonder is where Jesus was born. And the hair literally stood up on the back of my neck. And I thought, wow, this is the place where by stealth God dropped his son in on our situation so that 33 years later he could be our Savior. It's a rescue mission. Now, I know I'm a little radical about the season. I like being accused of that, to be honest. I work on that reputation to be as radical as I can about Christmas. Because it radically changed me. And it radically rescued me. Well, some of you know that back in June, my dog went to be with Jesus because he's a Christian dog. I talked to him about the Lord all the time. Whenever I gave an altar call, he wagged his tail. And I had a beagle, and his tail was a sign of a pet with a happy ending. So he is with Jesus now. And my heart's been broken. I missed him around the house, you know. It's been a little tough. I buried him in my shovel the whole 9 yards. It was hard. I miss that little presence, you know. I mean, man, I think next to God, I know it's further away, but next to God, you can't be loved by any breathing creature more than by a dog. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's any mistake that when you spell dog backwards, you have God. I just don't think that that's a mistake. So anyway, I got to thinking about Christmas, you know. I got thinking about it, and my daughter Allison, she loves Christmas almost as good as I do, almost as good, and she got her a puppy, you know, a while back, a golden doodle named Riley. I got a grand dog, no grandchildren, grand dog. We got him presents and everything, you know, whatever, it's just the way we are, you don't judge me. So anyway, she's been sending me pages from SPCA, you know. Just like crazy, because she's breaking her heart to know that at Christmas, she's going to have a dog to love her and her daddy's not. It's just breaking her heart. Page after page after page. I mean, they come. I have looked at like 89 dogs. And they all have two words up at the top of the page, rescue me. I'll tell you what, you got to be hard-hearted to go past 89 pages with rescue me on it. Lord help me, soften my heart. But anyway, Kim, the other day, she said she needed to drop something off at Stephanie Thigpen's house. And I'm the yellow bird flies. If we go do so, I think of something else. So they live over off of Country Club over that way somewhere. I don't even know the name of their street, but it's over that way. And a mockingbird, I think. So anyway, we left there. And I said, you want to ride by the SPCA and just look? And she said, okay. I said, we're just going to look so we can tell Allison. We've looked. Or it's not time. No. There was no way on God's green earth that I was going to leave Lucy at the SPCA over Christmas. It's not going to happen. Now, you know, my dog is about this high. Lucy is 9 months old and weighs 46 pounds and is this high. And she is enthusiastic. I think she's a young man's dog. But we're going to see how it goes. And I think I lost 3 pounds just running her around the inside of the SPCA. She was pulling me. I mean, she could be Rudolph. She could pull the sleigh, man. She is something else. She is a beagle slash tree and walker coon hound. Huh? How do you think that'll go over in a cul-de-sac development? I'll tell you, the squirrels and the rabbits better just be on their best guard. And so Lucy has been rescued. She'll be at our house by Christmas Eve. They got to do a little paperwork. She got to visit the vet and do some of that stuff. And I thought I was going to get to take her home yesterday. So the SPCA, they close at 4. So at 10 to 4, I walked in. And all the ladies thought I'd changed my mind. I said, no, I had to come see her. I want her to know it's real. I want her to know that she's been rescued. Now, I know some of you might think this is a bad example of what I'm talking about the rescue. That's because you're cat people, and I'm sorry about that. Now, listen. Now, listen closely. Listen closely. Think about this. Yesterday, Lucy, that's her new name. That's a little symbolic, too. Lucy was a no-name hound at the SPCA. She's been there a while. A lot of people seen her. Nobody rescued her. And today, she's on the screen in a local church being celebrated. You see, I see myself in Lucy. That is a small microcosm of what God did for me at Christmas. Nobody knew me. Nobody wanted me. I was homeless, and he walked in through the door of Bethlehem and said, we're going to save him. We're going to give him a new name, and he's going to belong to us again. This is Christmas. Can we have another hand for Christmas? Christmas is a rescue. It's a rescue. We should celebrate it. It's that good. I want to make a statement. Please don't forget it. Without Christmas, nothing else would matter. Nothing else. Because we would be hopeless. Without Christmas, nothing else would matter. There are questions that we have. And Christmas is a good time to ask those questions. Questions like, what is the meaning of life? Christmas can answer that. But without Christmas, there is no answer. Questions like, why was I born? Unless he had been born, there would be no answer to that question. Questions like, what's the purpose of my life? If he had not fulfilled his purpose, there would be no purpose for your life or for mine. Questions like, who am I? I mean, really, who am I? You see, we can get answers. It's not really what is the meaning of life, it's who. He is the meaning of life because he is life. Why was I born? To be rescued and to bring glory to him. To be a part of the Christmas story. That's why you were born. Pastor Joe said earlier after we sang one of the songs, Oh Holy Night, he said, don't you wish you were there? And I leaned over to Kim and said, I was. I mean, eventually, I was. I mean, because I was on his mind when he was born there. Purpose. I mean, he shows us purpose. He leads us. He lets us know that our life matters. You know, I think Mary of Nazareth, peasant girl, teenage girl, she really didn't have a big future in front of her, it seemed. And the angel showed up to her, of all people on the planet, this teenage peasant girl. And he showed up to her through the angel Gabriel. And part of what the angel Gabriel said to Mary is, Mary, you are highly favored. She had to go in her mind, yeah, right, me. And you know, that's not just for Mary. That's for us, because he has a purpose for your life and for mine, because he was born and carried out his purpose through Calvary and through the empty grave and ascended back to the Father. Because of that, he says to you today, you are highly favored. It means valued. Also, you are highly valued. I mean, look at the price that God paid to buy us back, to redeem us, to rescue us, and to put us back in his family. I mean, that means we're highly favored. It means we're highly valued. It's our purpose. And the whole idea of who am I, we just need to sort of change that. The real idea is not who am I, but whose am I? Because if we belong to him, the who am I is lost in the whose am I. I belong to Jesus. This, my friends, is Christmas. There's a lot of stuff. It's a good thing I have another week, because I don't know how to share this stuff. It's so powerful to me. C.S. Lewis, a great Englishman, years gone by. He was basically a agnostic or atheist, somewhere hung in between there, except that his mind come upon the incarnation, you know, and everything changed for C.S. Lewis. And he became one of the great contributors to Christianity in our not too distant past. And I love what C.S. Lewis said so beautifully. God was so full of life that when he wished to die for us, he had to borrow death from us. Life is not something we were accustomed to. Death is what we are accustomed to. But God is, remember last week I said that he is love, he is life, he is light. And so when it came time for us to need a Savior to die for us, he had to borrow death from us. He had to borrow our bodies. He had to borrow flesh. God borrowed humanity so he could die and we could live. It's Christmas. It's off the hook, I know. It's off the hook. I want to give this and then we'll move towards the conclusion. The only way God could ever identify with us ever again was if the incarnation happened. And it was going to happen, because the scriptures say before the foundation of the earth, God has slain his son. In other words, it was in the mind of God that if and when we got lost, the rescue would happen. I mean, that's... The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was always going to be a plan to rescue us. And Christmas is it. But he could have never identified with us again without the incarnation. So here's what he chose to do. God chose to do three things. And it all happens through the incarnation. Three things. Number one, he chose this. He chose to unite his life with our death. He chose to unite his life with our death. The second thing, he chose to unite his holiness with our sin. And three, He chose to unite his innocence with our guilt. Check it out. It's beautiful. God chose to unite his life with our death, his holiness with our sin, his innocence with our guilt. And guess what? His life overcame our death. His holiness overcame our sin. His innocence overcame our guilt. This is Christmas. Pastor Joe, if you would come and have the group come with you. We want to prepare our hearts for communion. Before we do, I want to share with you a passage of Scripture that I have actually printed and put in a frame at my house. You know that I love the Scripture, but there are just one or two or three or four, you know, that just over the course of my life, I've had to print them and frame them because they're that beautiful. They deserve display. And I dare not forget them. One is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And to me, it is one of the most beautiful verses that helps us understand what happened in the incarnation. Christmas. It's kind of about a gift exchange. And I love it so much in the Living Bible. This is an old version, but it's called the Living Bible. It's not actually a version. Not even a translation. It's just more written in story form. The Holy Bible originally was written by a father who wanted his children to understand the Bible. It's written very simplistic. It's called the Living Bible. And it's a paraphrase, really, of the Bible. But it's so powerful. This verse, I want to give it to you in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Let your ears invite the words of this verse into your soul. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he, the sinless Christ, poured God's goodness into us. Is that not poetic and powerful? For God became flesh. He dwelt among us. For what reason? For what reason was the sinless Christ born a human? That God might pour into his body and his flesh our sins. And that he might become our sin and destroy our sin. And come back and pour into us his goodness. Well, that's good news, friends. And that is the invitation today to these tables. If there are pastors in the room or shepherd staff members, I'm going to ask you to kind of move to the tables to be a presence of prayer in that area. Really a prayer of gratitude for what God has done. In a moment, we'll invite you to come. We have open tables, not closed tables in the Church of the Nazarene. I had a teenager come up to me after the service and say, Pastor, explain to me why we have the open table. Oh, it made the whole service worth it. I said, because when Jesus passed the cup and the bread at the Last Supper, he didn't fence the table. He offered it to everyone. It's our choice whether we will take him up on this relationship where we can exchange our sin for his goodness. I said, Jesus invites us all to his table. We should come very sacredly and very seriously, not because the person beside us came or not because it's a ritual, but we should come to remember today that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And the reason he did that was so that we could take his body, represented by the wafer, and his blood, represented by the cup of juice, that we might take his body into us. In other words, he took his sin into himself, and now we take his goodness into us. And that, my friends, is the great exchange. And so today, if you need to come for remembrance, if you need to come for recommitment, if you need to come for repentance, or even to be reclaimed, there was a time when you had this good relationship, but to be honest, it's faded at best, gone at worst. Then during this Christmas season, God has given his baby. He still offers him. He carried out his mission of rescue. And all he needs to hear from us is, I'm going to turn from sin and turn to him. I'm going to turn from dark and turn to light. going to turn from sin and turn to good. I'm going to receive the gift of Christmas. And as you come today, you know, in some churches, traditional churches, they have a communion table every Sunday. And it has these words engraved on it, in remembrance of me. Okay? So today, in your mind, I want you to remember that Christmas matters. It matters for you and it matters for me. And because Christmas matters, it means you matter and I matter. There's a song that we sing at this time of the year, O Little Town of Bethlehem. I asked for just a little piece of that, and then there'll be another song for us to receive communion. But I love these words written in that old song. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Be born in me today. And so these tables today, the invitation is, come. Receive goodness for sin. But we come with this spirit. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today.
Praise his name. As we prepare for the benediction, just a few things that I want to share with you. There will be someone at the well across from the cafe if you have needs today that you would just like for someone to pray with you. We would like to meet you there and enter in to that place in life with you. If you happen to see Earl and Agnes around, they're celebrating 55 years, so rejoice with them. And I know this time of the year especially, it seems there are a lot of needs. A lot of things rise up. And I have just a few of those today, just prayer needs that I want to share with you. And I'm sure it's just a small amount of needs compared, because we all have them. So these are a few. If you have things that you would like for us to pray with you for throughout the week, please contact us. Let us enter into those places with you. Karen Michael's dad, Curtis Ball, is at UVA. Dan and Christine Belasic's daughter, Grace, is at UVA. Rhonda Cooper's mom, Jerry, at RMH. And then Jerry and Edwina DeBoe and the loss of their nephew. These are just a few things that I would ask you to lift up throughout this week. And if you would stand now for the benediction, I would like to close with a prayer. Father, we come before you today, humbled that you would come down for us. But it's true. God, help us to embrace that. And God, these needs that we've lifted to you today, would you be ever present? Would you be undeniable to these needs and the many needs that's represented in this room and beyond because of the circle of family that we have? And God, today, I know that we all have this empty spot, this void in our hearts. And that spot is to be inhabited by you alone, a place for Christ in us, the hope of glory, that you came in your grace and mercy to enter into our lives. And through us, you enter into the lives around us. You enter into our Bethlehem through the likes of us. So, Father, in this Christmas season, would you be our joy and our peace and our hope? But God, please don't stop there. Would you flow through us this season to bring the light of his presence? And this week, as we go out from here, I pray, Lord, that you would shine bright through your children as we go. I pray that you would fill us with your peace and your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.